Good morning. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 382. What is thy birthright, man, child of the perfect one? What is thy father's plan for his beloved son? Hymn number 382. The scriptural will be given this morning by Suzanne from Vermont.
Ephesians. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
Let us now have a moment of silent prayer and follow with the repetition of the Lord's Prayer and its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook. Our Father, which art in heaven, our Father, Mother God, all harmonious,
hallowed be thy name,
adorable one,
thy kingdom come,
thy kingdom is come, thou art ever present,
thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Let's now sing hymn number 406. O love, our mother, ever near, to thee we turn from doubt and fear. In perfect peace our thought abide, our hearts now in this truth confide, man is the child of God. Hymn number 406.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Sunday morning service of the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. We begin each Sunday morning here at 10 a.m. with our roundtable discussion, and we just had a really good one. And if you missed it, be sure to get it on our website, plainfieldcs.com. Also on Sundays, we have a Sunday school for children that starts at 11 a.m. And that is conducted via a teleconference number so that any child anywhere in the world can attend. On Wednesday evenings at 8:15, we have a testimony meeting where you can hear testimonies of healings and lives saved through the study and practice of Christian Science. And at all of our services, we have a nursery for the infants and toddlers. You can find us not only here in Plainfield, New Jersey, also on our website, plainfieldcs.com. We have a channel on YouTube, and we have offerings on SoundCloud, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And there's an article featured on our website, which I'd like to point out. If you've ever felt cursed, depressed, over-responsible, there's an article entitled The Way of Salvation by Mary Baker Eddy. I recommend it highly. And let's see, we will not have another Bible study next Saturday. But after next Saturday, check the website for Bible study questions for the following Saturday. But we're going to take a break next Saturday for the Bible study. Everyone is welcome here, and that includes all of you who are listening and participating from around the world. And now we're going to have the reading of a testimony from Miscellaneous Writings, which attests to the healing power obtained by studying the Christian Science textbook. And that reading will be given this morning by Elsie from Alabama.
Thank you. I became interested in Christian Science through being healed. I had no faith in doctors, therefore would not consult any, but felt that something must be done, or I would soon follow a brother and sister who had passed on with the same claim. In my extremity, I thought of the great physician and took my case to him, and realized that he alone could help me. A relative, finding I would not consult a doctor or take any drugs, gave me Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures to read, saying that although a dear friend thought she was greatly helped by a Christian Scientist, he himself had no faith in that kind of treatment and had no use for the book. I had learned of the people called Christian Scientists and of their textbook Science and Health, but knew nothing about either. Yet I wanted to know, and took the book gladly, and was soon deeply interested in it. It was a revelation to me. Although I could only understand it in part, I knew it was the truth, and the truth was making me free. I felt that I had been bound and imprisoned, and that now, one after another, the bonds were being broken, and I was lifted into the pure air and light of heaven. I was healed before I had read halfway through the precious volume, for I was obliged to read slowly and some passages over and over again. When I came to page 304, I then and there felt that I must add my testimony, though already there were heaps upon heaps. But since then, I have tried to put the thought of those dark days away from me and only refer to them now in the hope that someone who is bound may be released and brought into the light of divine love, which alone can heal and make us every whit whole. LMC, Brooklyn, New York.
The lesson sermon for this morning can be found on page 12 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject: Adam and Fallen Man. The golden text is from Isaiah. Cease ye from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? The responsive reading is from Galatians, Isaiah, and 1 Corinthians. Who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you?
Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh?
Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree.
Wherefore then serveth the law?
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined.
For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Florence from Georgia will now read.
The Bible, Genesis. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Romans. For as by one man's disobedience many were sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. 1 John. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Let no man deceive you. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. John. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your Father. If God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because he is not of God. Verily, verily I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Galatians. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. 1 Corinthians. And so it is written, The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. 2 Corinthians. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. But we all, with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord.
Carol will now read.
I will read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. The great truth in the science of being, that the real man was, is, and ever shall be perfect, is incontrovertible. For if man is the image, reflection of God, he is neither inverted nor subverted, but upright and godlike. The verity that God's image is not a creator, though he reflects the creation of mind God, constitutes the underlying reality of reflection. Few persons comprehend what Christian Science means by the word reflection. To himself, mortal and material man seems to be substance. But his sense of substance involves error, and therefore is material, temporal. On the other hand, the immortal, spiritual man is really substantial and reflects the eternal substance, or spirit, which mortals hope for. He reflects the divine, which constitutes the only real and eternal entity. Anybody who is able to perceive the incongruity between God's idea and poor humanity ought to be able to discern the distinction made by Christian Science between God's man, made in his image, and the sinning race of Adam. The word Adam is from the Hebrew Adama, signifying the red color of the ground, dust, nothingness. Divide the name Adam into two syllables, and it reads a dam or obstruction. Here, a dam is not a mere play upon words. It stands for obstruction, error, even the supposed separation of man from God, and the obstacle which the serpent, sin, would impose between man and his creator. Spiritually followed, the book of Genesis is the history of the untrue image of God, named a sinful mortal. This deflection of being, rightly viewed, serves to suggest the proper reflection of God and the spiritual actuality of man, as given in the first chapter of Genesis. Even thus, the crude forms of human thought take on higher symbols and significations when scientifically Christian views of the universe appear, illuminating time with the glory of eternity. The second record unmistakably gives the history of error in its externalized forms, called life and intelligence in matter. It records pantheism, opposed to the supremacy of divine spirit. But this state of things is declared to be temporary, and this man to be mortal, dust returning to dust. God's glowing denunciations of man when not found in his image, the likeness of spirit, convince reason and coincide with revelation in declaring this material creation false. Because of its false basis, the mist of obscurity evolved by error deepens the false claim, and finally declares that God knows error and that error can improve his creation. This false sense of existence is fratricidal. In the words of Jesus, it, evil, devil, is a murderer from the beginning. Error begins by reckoning life as separate from spirit, thus sapping the foundations of immortality, as if life and immortality were something which matter can both give and take away. What can be the standard of good, of spirit, of life, or of truth, if they produce their opposites, such as evil, matter, error, and death? God could never impart an element of evil, and man possesses nothing which he has not derived from God. How then has man a basis for wrongdoing? Whence does he obtain the propensity or power to do evil? Has spirit resigned to matter the government of the universe? If mankind would relinquish the belief that God makes sickness, sin, and death, or makes man capable of suffering on account of this malevolent triad, the foundations of error would be sapped, and error's destruction ensured. But if we theoretically endow mortals with the creativeness and authority of deity, how dare we attempt to destroy what he hath made, or even to deny that God made evil and made evil good? Jesus strips all disguise from error when his teachings are fully understood. By parable and argument, he explains the impossibility of good producing evil. And he also scientifically demonstrates this great fact, proving by what are wrongly called miracles that sin, sickness, and death are beliefs, elusive errors, which he could and did destroy. Whatever indicates the fall of man, or the opposite of God, or God's absence, is the Adam dream, which is neither mind nor man, for it is not begotten of the Father. The rule of inversion infers from error its opposite, truth. But truth is the light which dispels error. As mortals begin to understand spirit, they give up the belief that there is any true existence apart from God. It is difficult for the sinner to accept divine science, because science exposes his nothingness. But the sooner error is reduced to its native nothingness, the sooner man's great reality will appear, and his genuine being will be understood. The destruction of error is by no means the destruction of truth or life, but is the acknowledgement of them. Let us remember that harmonious and immortal man has existed forever and is always beyond and above the mortal illusion of any life, substance, and intelligence as existent in matter. Truth has but one reply to all error, to sin, sickness, and death. Dust, nothingness, thou art, and unto dust, nothingness, shalt thou return. As in Adam, error, all die, even so in Christ, truth, shall all be made alive. The mortality of man is a myth, for man is immortal. Man is, and forever has been, God's reflection.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer for our world. Let's now sing hymn number 161. The words of this hymn are by Mary Baker Eddy. It matters not what be thy lot, so love doth guide. For storm or shine, pure peace is thine, whate'er betide. Hymn number 161.
Thank you. it's uncommon to believe Adam and his Madam Eve were doomed before the serpent hissed due to a pernicious mist. But it's undisputable God's creation was complete. Nothing else could ever exist, which brings me to that mist I mentioned. If you're mad, you have to grapple with disease or death or sin. Don't blame snakes or curse the apple. Rise above the mist you're in. It turned all things upside down, watered the entire ground, and it obscured man's origin, made it look like God made sin. Instead of man, the image of perfect God, whose name is love, man made God a man like God. What resulted is quite fraudulent. Perfect God could not be cruel or set us in a downward spin. Stick to perfect God and you will rise above the mist you're in. See, the mist is allegorically thinking, that is categorically wrong, confused, and dualistic, a totally materialistic state of mind that's unreliable. Learn the lessons of the Bible. If you don't, look what occurred with their vision so obscured. Adam, Eve became susceptible to a sneaky talking reptile, and the snake's initial whisper soon became an awful din. Don't you tangle with the lisper. Rise above. Rise above. Rise above the mist you're in. The mist you're in. The mist you're in.
Let's now sing hymn number 48. Dear Father, Mother, thou dost grant all good and perfect gifts to me. 'Tis mine to raise this beacon here, obedience unto thee. Hymn number 48.
from the Christian Science textbook, The Scientific Statement of Being, and the correlative passages from 1 John, 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth, matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal, matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material, he is spiritual. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.